Today, Saudi television broadcast a call by a militant renouncing his past and asking other terrorists to turn themselves in. Othman al-Amri accepted an offer of amnesty from the Saudi government earlier this week. He'd been on the country's most wanted list. More than half of the 26 militants on that list have been captured or killed. The amnesty offer to terrorists who give themselves up followed the beheading of American Paul Johnson 13 days ago. That attack and one in Khobar in May have rattled foreign workers in Saudi Arabia. Some complain the Saudi government was unprepared for the recent wave of anti-Western violence. Even those who are nervous, though, say it's not easy to simply pack up and leave. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
An American engineer working in Saudi Arabia says if you take away the threat of terrorism, it's a pretty nice lifestyle. Good pay, comfortable housing, reasonable hours. Of course, these days, the threat of terrorism is never far from the minds of the 25,000 Americans in Saudi Arabia. Richard works for the national oil company Saudi Aramco. The company's workers are forbidden to talk to the media, so he's using an assumed name, and his voice has been disguised.
Obviously, it's the topic of the day and of the week and of the last month, pretty much. Everyone's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, what's going to happen next.
Richard lives in one of Aramco's sprawling residential camps in eastern Saudi Arabia, the heart of the kingdom's oil country. He says the self-contained camps are like military bases, with schools and stores and sometimes thousands of residents. Unlike military bases, though, the camps are only lightly defended. Richard and others have protested that they could not withstand a terror attack like the one on a high-walled compound in Khobar a month ago.
Almost all the camps are basically protected by chain-link fence. They really never addressed these things seriously until the Khobar attack, and they basically swung into much higher action than they were, and they're trying to play catch-up.
Richard says since the Khobar attack, Aramco has beefed up security, but he still thinks the camps are vulnerable to anyone who cuts through a fence, and he's not sure how dedicated the Saudi guards might be. Aramco insists security is its top priority and says it's constantly evaluating the situation to make sure its measures are adequate. Despite his concerns, Richard is reluctant to leave Saudi Arabia. He estimates that Aramco pays him 30% to 40% more than he'd make in the United States, and there's a generous pension that he would lose if he quits prematurely.
You don't want to pull out and this thing just kind of fade away, and then you've thrown everything away. On the other hand, if you're dead, doesn't matter how much money you've got.
Aramco doesn't have the option of simply reassigning foreign workers to a more secure country, as some multinational firms have done. Paul Johnson's employer, Lockheed Martin, for example, has allowed its workers to relocate, though spokesman Tom Jurkowski says he doesn't know of any who've done so.
Anytime our employees serve in an overseas assignment, they do so as volunteers, and they can ask to come out of a region at any time, and their pay, their positions are not jeopardized.
Other firms reportedly are offering incentive pay to keep their employees in Saudi Arabia. David Cantrell, who heads the American Business Association there, insists it's more than money that keeps many workers in the country.
I'd be naive if I said there wasn't a lot of people who came over here only for the money. But most of the people who come over here only for the money come over for 2, 3, 4 years, and they leave. But most of the people that I know have been here for 5 years or more.
Cantrell himself has lived in Saudi Arabia for the last 13 years. Even though he actually made more money in the U.S., he stays for the work and his friends. He says security fears have prompted many Westerners to send family members out of the country, but the number of actual workers leaving is small, much less than 10%.
One of my golfing buddies has only been here for a year, and he was very nervous and left early for his vacation and said he'd see whether or not he was going to come back. He's not sure that he is coming back. But most everybody that I know has just decided, you know, to remain vigilant, hunker down, and press on. Americans are not known to run away from trouble just because it comes up.
Saudi Arabia's foreign minister met over the weekend with a group of expatriates. Afterwards, he said he was encouraged that most had asked about steps that would allow them to stay in the kingdom, not about ways they could leave. Scott Horsley, NPR News.